Morning, brethren, here in Modesto, around the world, wherever you may be. I hope your Sabbath is a pleasant and beautiful, inspiring one. The music that you're listening to is a piece entitled Meditation, if you didn't know that, by Massenet, and Mrs. Ames is the violinist on this number. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Very, very beautiful piece, similar maybe to David playing the lyre for King Saul to drive away the spirits. David was a man after God's own heart. This morning I'm going to talk to you about music, praising God with song. Very, very important and beautiful topic. Ancient Israel was a singing congregation, and there's many, many scriptures to support this. They sang at play, at work, and at worship. In fact, the Book of Psalms are the songs of David. The temple was dedicated. There were about 2,000 singers at the dedication, and God's Spirit, as a cloud, filled the room so that the priest could not see the minister. And as well, in the Worldwide Church of God back in the 1980s, the Feast of Tabernacle, through satellite link-up, there were 100,000 or more singing praises to God all at the same time. A feat that the church has wanted to do for a number of years, and it finally came to fruition. Now, what about our preferences for music? And we all have preferences. Today, we have MTV, we have boomboxes, we have car stereos blasting, hip-hop, we have iPods so you can blow your eardrum and nobody else has to hear you. Satan is indeed the prince of the power of the air, as we know, and his music is not of good quality. We've lost it in our society. Music is reflecting the decay of our civilization. It's become non-participation sport. The national anthem, we stand up, but we don't sing. It's easy just to sit and listen. So what do you listen to when you're driving, when you're at home, when you're in the shower? Are you into the rock stations? Do you listen to country? There's good country music. Classical? There's good classical music. There's some junk in all forms of music. Do you have special music for the feast days or the Sabbath that you can play, that you can look forward to playing, to make it an extra special day for you? And is it of good quality? I talked to you about that before. So there are good forms of quality in music, whether it be popular, classic, show tunes, country, jazz, rock. Yes, there can be some good. We just have to pick and choose sometimes. Everyone, it seems, is a music critic. We all have our preferences, do we not? If it ain't country, it ain't music. You heard that before? Well, I like some country, but that doesn't mean that it's to the exclusion of all the other forms of music. Or some think that classical music's best because it's the most complex and complicated. Again, there's some not so good classical music. We have to take care. Remember, we're going to be judged by all we say and think. The lyrics, too, is important. Some songs are beautiful, but the lyrics are shot. It's okay to have preferences. Do you have preferences in the hymn book? I do. Do you have some you don't like? I do. And I won't do them. There's only a couple, even though Mr. Armstrong sanctioned the hymn book. And we'll look at that in a minute. Now, in the song service, we want to make a joyful noise. Don't have to be able to sing as long as you make a noise. That's the requirement. In the early days, the radio broadcast, Mrs. Armstrong and Beverly were often singing. And at that time, they were singing what? Protestant songs? Perhaps. There was no Dwight Armstrong hymns at that time. He hadn't written them yet. So was that acceptable? If they're done to praise God and they're beautiful, and we'll look at the criteria next, we'll see what it says about music. Let's look and see what Mr. Armstrong said about beautiful music. And here this is taken from 1984, the festival tape, with him talking to the young ambassadors. Quote, "I always love good music, melodic music that is tuneful and is full of harmony. and it is beautiful and lifts one up and is very, very good for them, end quote. That's Mr. Armstrong speaking. We know that the angels sang at recreation, and they sang again at the birth of Christ. You can imagine an angelic choir. It would be totally magnificent. We know David sang, Moses sang, the crossing of the Red Sea. Jesus and the apostles sang at the Passover. God the Father sings. Are you aware of that? Let's look at Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And this is the same Elohim that's in Genesis 1:1. God likes music. What music does he like? Let's look at Psalm 150. Psalm 150 says, it's the last psalm in the book of Psalms, verse 3, we're praising God here. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with timbrel and with dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. And praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So that's really the purpose here, is to praise God. And we know he likes soft music as well as loud, big, boisterous music. The test. Let's look at what Mr. Armstrong said. And this is in the, this is from The Last Great Day. His sermon on in 1985, and he said, "You know, the hymns that we'd been singing were just regular hymnals that other churches used, and I noticed they all seemed to sing the praises of the people. If you get some of those books and read the words that go with many of those hymns, composed by people having no knowledge of the Bible, actually, they sing the praises of the people doing the singing. Whereas the psalms that God wrote, the psalms really mean songs. Sing the praises of God and are meant for the worship of God." Then, in the inside of the purple hymn book, he also had words regarding how this came to be, and the commission to his younger brother, Dwight. This was in 1947. He asked Dwight Armstrong to devote full time to setting the words of the Psalms and or any other scriptures to music in four-part harmony. For some little time, the church, then small, sang the first 12 or 15 hymns that had been composed. The church grew, and so did the number of hymns sung with God's own inspired words. And further down, he says, "Now at last the time has come when we can omit the old Protestant hymns almost altogether, with more new hymns of our own added. We have retained two national hymns and a few others whose words are proper, which we feel our congregations would want to sing occasionally." That's the guideline to the hymnal. So the question is, do you want to sing all the hymns in the hymnal? Some of the hymns are not of the melodic, harmonic nature, even those compiled by Mr. Dwight Armstrong. That's why we don't sing them. They're just not familiar. We can't seem to get a grip on them. Others are extremely beautiful. There are some Protestant hymns in there. Again, they're sanctioned by Mr. Armstrong. I lived and worked in Pasadena for a number of years, attended school. I had the opportunity of watching Mr. Armstrong, listening to the music, seeing what types of music was used, whether it was in the auditorium, Imperial Gym, or at the feast sites. Those could be the guidelines that we use in determining special music. Special music is preferable if it's scriptural. It doesn't have to be. Last week we heard Bless This House by Mr. Jerry Barrett. Jerry Barrett would hardly ever do a song unless it was scriptural based, except this one, I noted, that he sang. It's a beautiful hymn with a beautiful message that he sang for us. So the best test, is it used to praise God? Is it harmonic, melodic, good lyrics, uplifting? Protestant's kind of a vague word. We don't really know what, you know, what's Protestant, what's Catholic, we're not sure. As long as we look at the intent of the music. What about Xmas time? There's a couple of songs that are beautiful, but they're so closely associated with this pagan holiday that it's risky at best to do them. O Holy Night, for example. Beautiful song singing about the birth of Christ. So we have to use songs that praise God and meet the criteria, and then we can rejoice. Now, there's music around God's throne continuously. Let's go to Revelation 4, 8. Revelation 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, which have six wings, were full of eyes, round and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying or singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This is continuous. And I can imagine the music is constantly changing. We have no idea what an angelic choir sounds like. It would be something to behold. So there is purpose. There's purpose to the special music. This is a musical gift, a prayer to God, the special music, similar to the opening and closing prayer. We shouldn't be rustling around or talking or getting up and moving during the special music because of the nature of it. We don't want to show signs of disrespect. There's physical benefits to participating in music. This has been discovered by the University of Irvine and the College of Medicine. Singing increases the immunoglobulin A. This is a protein used by the immune system to fight disease. It's 150% during rehearsal, when you're rehearsing, or it's at 200% during an actual performance. So both music and, of course, going to church would increase it because you're able to participate to some extent. Of course, we should serve on a regular basis. Everybody can sing during the song services. Musicians should not be doing other types of service at their music expense, and this has always been the policy. If you're musically inclined, and there are some of us that are, you should be doing music and doing it with our might. Now, we've had notice of choir sign up. We haven't had a whole lot of response for the feast. I was talking to Mr. Ed Tidwell last week, and I guess there's been a very good response for the talent show. I know in the past it's kind of been the other way around. But we need to keep that in mind. You need to serve with your musical talents. Now, some claim, well, we're going to sit this feast out. And I've heard musicians say that. And I confront them, what do you mean you're going to sit it out? You have musical ability to share with us. And, you know, how would you feel, Mr. Billingsley, if the ministers told you they were going to sit this one out? Okay, so because music is a Levitical function, it's a very special function, and we don't want to be guilty of bearing our talents. So anyway, Mr. Armstrong built the auditorium, high class, best acoustics that I can imagine of anywhere in the world. Artists from all over wanted to perform there, and he had seats reserved for himself and guests about six rows back. Pasadena loved the auditorium, and he was there listening to all different types of quality music in the auditorium. Brethren, there is a solution. We're going to get it in the millennium. God is going to teach us a new song.
Thank you, Mr. Bovietz. Very interesting subject. Okay, brother, I think everybody's ready. Let's go to page number 74 for our next hymn. 74. After which will be the announcements. Page 74. Sing praises and rejoice. Appropriate, isn't it?
Right hand and his holy arm, him victory have won.
For the announcements. The announcements today, this morning here in Modesto, will be given by our pastor, Mr. Don Billingsley.
Good morning, everybody, and all of you are listening in. That was an excellent sermonette, John. Appreciated that very much, giving us the broad outline of music, as it should be, and of course putting in quite a bit of what Mr. Armstrong had said about it. And in regard to the new song, when they think of what it says about the 144,000, they're going to be singing a song that no one will be able to sing with them. So that leads me to believe that we're first fruits. They're first fruits, so I would imagine that we'll be part of them, right? Certainly seems to be. Anyway, appreciate that. I know that we all have our preferences in music. I do. We all do. And some of it, some that others like, perhaps. Well, they do like, I guess, with the sound of it. They like that I detest. Sometimes, you know, when you have somebody drive up behind you, beside of you, and you got the pavement more or less moving up and down. With their speakers, they got it up full volume and all the drum beat and everything, and you just want to, you're almost tempted to run a red light to get away from them. So, but anyway, thank God that there won't be any of that kind of music in tomorrow's world, if you want to call it music, and I don't. It's not. Neither's rap. And that's not music. So, anyway, but again, I think we're going to have our eyes open to a lot of good music in tomorrow's world, and it will all be to the effect of always praising God, and that's the way that it ought to be. Well, anyway, I don't have a whole lot to pass on to you. I did, Joe gave me a new copy of the journal, and I have a two-page spread this time. It has a new format to it. Some of you may be able to see it from there. If you can't, you can come by and look at it a little bit later on. So, okay. I forgot about that. You got the camera on over there. Okay, I'm sorry about that. So hopefully all of you will be able to see that. And they're at least connected with the camera in that sense. So anyway, I'll have it back here for a little bit before we leave, and that you can come by and take a closer look at it if you wish. Picture has changed a little bit. While we were in Big Sandy, Texas, We visited the home of Dixon Cartwright and his wife. He's the one who owns the journal and responsible for all that's in it, which a lot of it I don't care for, but anyway, it's a thing, you know. In other words, he makes everything available there for any and everybody, at least so you can see what's going on in the world. But anyway, we spent a little time in his home, and in fact, we spent a couple hours, I guess, there in his home with Ella Stewart, a man that we've known, an elder there with, I'm not sure just which one of the churches he's with. They got about three or four more churches there in Big Sandy. And he started naming off the, or Ellis did, I guess, Ellis did, the evangelist. This evangelist lives here, this one lives over here, and another one lives here. And so they're all surrounded by the long old-time evangelist. But while we're in the process of sitting there talking, he got his camera and he started taking pictures of me. And so anyway, he got a picture of me here that's different than the... So I don't know what he's going to come up with in the future of all those pictures that he had made of us. And then we went outside, and then he took pictures of our family, my wife and me, and along with his wife and with himself, and also with the other elder who was there. So we had a good meeting together. And anyway, we said, but this elder too, Dixon, well, if you were to talk to Mr. Billings, he could just talk to you. He could just keep on talking to you for a long, long time, just over all the things in his life. And he said, well, yeah. I said, could you come back tomorrow so I can interview you? I said, no. We were moving on, you know, song by Hank Snow, Moving On. So anyway, we were moving on, and so... Maybe sometime in the future he might want to try to coax me into doing that, but we'll have to see how that goes. Okay, so I think that's about all I did have in the what I had written this week. For those of you who have not yet read what I did write, we had an added blessing this week in the fact that I had a man to call me. And he, I don't think he lives all that far away. In fact, he said he'd like to come and visit with us. He's a longtime member. And anyway, he had run across our website. And so then he began to talk about some of the recordings he had of Mr. Armstrong. And then I expressed my desire to have those. He said, well, look. He said, I'll put you in touch with a man who has all of them. In other words, he has all of them. MP3s, he has DVDs, and so many of all those telecasts and whatever on that. And the thing of it is that this man was a recording manager, or the manager, better said, I guess, of the television studio during those years of Mr. Armstrong's life. And so I would imagine there'd be a superior quality. And so he gave me the name and phone number, and I called the man, and all he asked was just for the cost of duplicating and mailing to us, which the whole thing with getting all the many, many cassette tapes, I think ran around $400. And so, which I felt was very, very cheap, very inexpensive, because he's not putting any of his labor into it. It's just a matter of the cost. He said, I think he only paid about $15 an hour, I believe, for duplicating. But on the other hand, with I guess he just had many, many tapes, because with the MP3s and the DVDs, that was only going to cost about $160 or so for the mail, and it ran it up to $400 with all those cassette tapes. So it contains all the writings and everything else of Mr. Armstrong. So anyway, I felt like God truly blessed us again. And it's just in sequence, you find one thing after the other. As I was pointing out in what I had written to you this week, that God is beginning to, well, he's not only beginning, he is bringing more and more to us to make possible all these things can get on our website. So I'm very appreciative for that, and hopefully you'll pray for the continued success of it. As I mentioned, I believe in that letter that right now the most popular thing that seems to be with people is the correspondence course. And there are many, many people that are going after that, and he's told me that if you go to Google and you look in the top five, we are listed two times in the top five as being of those that are where literature is being requested. So they're going to continue to work with that, and so we're very, very appreciative of that. Well, I don't know of anything else really to pass on to you at this point. regarding the picnic that is scheduled for tomorrow out at the Lawson's home, and hopefully that everybody will be able to go. And I'm not sure where we will. I usually use Sunday to sort of rest up on. I'm not a young man anymore, in case you didn't know that. All you have to do is look at my gray hair and so forth, and you realize that I just don't have quite the same reserves of strength that I used to have. And, you know, like I used to, I'd think about, well, you know, I've seen somebody run, jump up on the stage in the main auditorium. Yeah, well, you know. But then, you know, you think again when you think about, well, I could jump that fence or whatever. Well, no, I better not try. Well, today I don't even think about it. So, you know, even remove that thought. So, but for some of the others over here, much younger age, you can still, I guess you feel like you can do just about any and everything, and maybe you can, and maybe you can't. Anyway, so it depends on how I feel tomorrow, whether or not I'll make that or not. Immediately after services today, there is choir practice in the choir practice area, and I certainly want to echo what John Bobby Epps has said and encourage all of you out there who do have the talent and to hear, you know, of singing as well as playing instruments or whatever, to be sure and to plan for, because again, you're playing for God and for His people, and you're helping make the feast a true feast. And so sure, it takes of your time to be able to do that, but all of us have to be willing to sacrifice in order to be able to give to other people. It's like years ago that when we were still, the feast site was still in Big Sandy, and we had not expanded yet to Squaw Valley. And one of the evangelists was Mr. Armstrong, and one said to the other, well, who's the happiest people you see here? And the other one said, the people who are serving. And that's true. The people who serve are the happiest people. And of course, you make us happy, those of us who don't have those talents, to be able to hear you. And I truly love good music. I really do. And special music is just always, I feel, an integral part of the services. And appreciate all that John Bobby Epps is doing to make all that possible. So for all those, well, in fact, there's an announcement here to this effect. For all those with musical ability and wishing to sing special music or with the choir at the feast, should contact John or Donna Bobby Epps immediately at the free phone call, 800-400-1525. That's an easy, should be an easy one to remember. 800-400-1525. We have special music today, and after which you'll be hearing a sermon that was given by me on February the 10th of 01. So it hasn't been here for a long time. It's on the doctrine of tithing. It's part one, and God willing, we'll play part two next week. But first of all, with special music, Hallelujah. It's from the Mount of Olives by Ludwig Beethoven, sung by the Ambassador College Choir and Orchestra. It's all naturally on tape. Thank you.
grace and glory.